2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmory.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself off 20% each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 a month. You can't beat that with a stick, my friends. DFSArmory.com, promo code PODCAST. Especially for all our non-members who like to listen to the podcast. Definitely a great way to interact with us on a daily basis. So, yeah, if you're not a member, get there and do it. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you find me, Al Walsh, at 14a.walsh. And the right-hand man, the man with the band that can do the damn jam, Keith Hall. Find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. What's up, my man?
Not much, man. Not much. We had a nice heated discussion. Put that behind
us. Spirited debate.
Oh, yeah. So it's always fun when we can get into the analytics of basketball and not just the perceived notion that dumbasses such as Mr. Colin Cowherd actually give us.
He is wonderful. You take that back. Never. We had a nice little Jimmy Harden, Russell Westbrook debate, but it's good. I feel like we should debate before we hit the record button each time, because now I feel refreshed, rejuvenated, like nothing is kind of held back. Like all the bad juju spirits are out, and we can just talk about today's slate. Although, yep. I'm sure people would have loved to have heard what we were going on with. I mean, it's been going on for days in the Slack channel. Another perk of being a member of the DFS Army here. So certainly, if you're not there, make sure you get in. What do we got here? 8 games on today's slate?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I can still count. All right. So we've got 2 perceived blowouts on the East Coast, but we got a couple factors here today to kind of weigh you off of that and why you should be thinking that we'll see competitive games today. But stay tuned for that. And first, let's start with probably one of the best DFS games of the evening. Minnesota Timberwolves at the Washington Wizards. Wizards opened up as 4-point favorites in this one. -210 on the money line. Over under is at 211 here. A couple of what do we got here? No injuries here for either team, which is great. But I've been on my article each day, Walsh's Way. You can find that on DFSArmy.com. But I've been doing line analysis. So instead, I've kind of switched it over to spread notes. And instead of kind of giving my opinion, I'm just going to throw some basic concrete facts out there about how the teams have been performing, according to this to the spread. So now that we're about 35 games into the NBA season, we've got some pretty concrete data as to how all this goes. So a couple things here to note. Wizards are 9-4 against the spread as a home favorite this season, which they are tonight. And the Wizards have won 8 straight games at home outright. So they'll be going for 9 here tonight. And then neither team has actually covered their last 2 games. So something's got to give here, Keith. What's it going to be?
I don't know what's going to give, really. I kind of see it going kind of the way that everybody kind of wants to. The problem is that I don't think it's going to be as fantasy friendly as everybody wants it to be with a total of 211.
Okay.
So I don't have a lot of interest in this game at all. Unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah, really. I mean, John Wall, I can't. And you'll kind of feel where I'm going as the day goes. And it's kind of a different aspect as far as my game. But, I mean, yeah, I guess John Wall's in play always at home. But he's overpriced for this slate, in my opinion. The only guy I might have a little bit of interest in is Bradley Beal at 7K, but the problem with that is you start getting into, I mean, the mid-tier shooting guard is just loaded. But I mean, I guess I like Bradley Beal, don't get me wrong. He's definitely somebody that can pay off his salary, but I'm looking for 40s and 50s tonight, and Bradley Beal's just on that fringe of possibly being able to get there for me. Zach LaVine, his shot finally started falling again. He goes in and out, but he's just a scorer. He doesn't put up enough peripheral stats. Same with Andrew Wiggins. He's not putting up the peripheral stats like he. I mean, he's still getting the rebounds, but not the assists like he was at the beginning of the year. And Wiggins' shot's been even worse off right now than LaVine's. I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns is now 9,400. Going against Gortat, I mean, it's an okay matchup. It's not the greatest. I mean, Gortat in cash games is always in play. I mean, he's gonna play 50 minutes, or he's gonna play 50 minutes. He's gonna play 50 minutes. Newsflash, this game's going into overtime. He's gonna play 40 minutes, right? I mean,
Right.
Jan Mahinmi's still out. I mean, there's nobody. Jason Smith, I guess, if, but Minnesota goes big all the time because Karl-Anthony Towns is on the floor, 37 minutes a game. So that means Gortat's going to be out there 37 minutes tonight, unless he gets into foul trouble. I don't play Ricky Rubio. I mean, there's just, I mean, I guess Otto Porter's price is a little depressed.
Ah, there we go. I thought we were gonna not let him go. Yeah, I mean, two guys for me that I could really get down with tonight, John Wall and Otto Porter. I know, you talked about John Wall. I know that price is a bit up there, but against Rubio in this matchup, we like a home John Wall. We like a home cooked John Wall. So he
He
would
likes
probably.
mama's home cooking.
He does. He does. So he would be, I guess, my first target. Maybe not according to if we're just throwing price out the window right now. But I do like the matchup for Wall against Rubio. That is just stupid. But the other thing that I'm forgetting about here, I like picking on the Timberwolves all the time, whether it be shooting guard or whether it be small forward. I do think that the price on Brad Beal is a bit up there for the upside that he could bring to the table. So he's off. He's off for me. But Otto Porter there. I mean, look, when we talk about the Timberwolves, we got to remember that Andrew Wiggins and Zach LaVine are on. Let's just say this in a stupid way, but they are on the last page of the defensive RPM rankings on ESPN.com. Okay? That's not where you want to be. And that's for overall players. They are all the way down at the bottom of the NBA. So, yeah, I do think that Otto Porter at 5,600 on FanDuel, 6,000 there on DraftKings, that is probably the primo spot. I don't want to be left. Holding, you know what, in my hand here. I want to have some exposure to this game, and I think Otto Porter is probably the best dollar per point play on the board here. Well, for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I can get behind that. He would probably be the only one I have interest in. It's not a star-studded game, especially at what I can consider what I because it's an East Coast game and it's one of the two, 6 o'clock games. It's gonna carry a little bit inflated ownership and. That's always something I never really like tackling. So
Let
it's
me
kind
ask
of
you
one of
something.
those, it's kind of one of those things like, they're in good spots and stuff, but on a slate like today, it's not a place where I'm
Gotcha.
willing to attack.
Saying it's more flash than pop. I see. I
Yeah,
see. All right.
exactly.
Now, ESPN Insider had a very interesting article the other day. They typically do this, but I like the matchup that they had of the two players for season-long fantasy players. Who would you rather have going forward for the rest of the season? Bradley Beal, Zach LaVine, and then each writer, kind of gets like their own I guess page or whatever to say why they thought, you know, that each player was a better choice. I thought it was very interesting because you kind of have similar players, you know, where they're not exactly the main option. They're kind of, you know, second or third fiddles within the team's offense. But both guys very, very talented in the offensive end. So who would you take in this situation?
Zach LaVine or who? Bradley Beal?
Bradley Beal. Yeah,
it's Bradley Beal, 100%.
I would take LaVine, but all right.
If we're talking raw athletic ability and talent, then yes. But if we're talking a better basketball player, like I just think Bradley Beal
for season long fantasy purposes
for this year,
yeah, sure. Yeah,
it's Bradley Beal because he's going to do more for me in other categories than just score more okay. often. More consistently throughout the season.
Gotcha.
So
I thought it was a very interesting question, but I got to bring it to the table. Yeah, all right. Speaking absolutely. Of interesting, we've got the Houston Rockets opened up as 4.5-point favorites tonight. Traveling to the Magical Kingdom down in Orlando, -215 on the money line of the Rockets. Bit telling there. We'll get to that in a minute. But we also got the highest total of the night here at 224. So the Rockets only -215 on the money line. We mentioned this before the show, but 98% of the bets out in Vegas are on Rockets money line. So it's a bit telling. And, you know, as I've been told in my betting 101, run the other way when you see such a high number like that. So, I mentioned this last night, you know, just when I saw the opening line. I figured, hey, the Rockets -4.5. That's just way too low. One thing that we should mention here is that the Rockets, they are undefeated. I believe 8-0 this season on the back end of a back-to-back. 8-0. So, in my opinion, I think they're due for a loss here tonight.
How many of those have been at home?
That I don't know. I got to dig into that one a little more. Actually, let me see here. I can do this right now. Only three of those were at home.
Okay. I was just wondering.
So, no, it's a very good question. But here's some interesting notes, too. Like, everything with the spread here is telling us that the Magic should win this game tonight. But one thing I do want to mention here, the Magic are 5-12 against the spread at home this season, and even more, 3-7 against the spread as a home underdog. Those are just interesting stats, not necessarily how I'm going to think here, but everything with this line, all that money line movement, everything is just telling us that the Magic are going to win this game tonight.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of hard to say. Look, I'll tell you, as a GPP player, okay, and as a guy that has had some success, you know, putting in the guaranteed points with Russ, with Harden, with Boogie, with Durant, you know, Steph before this year, and then just figuring out the rest. I'm off of Harden tonight. Not saying that he can't go for 50, not saying that he can't go for 60, but when you've got, just think about this. We've got James Harden at 11-8. Okay. Then I've got Boogie, Giannis, LeBron. You could, I guess, throw John Wall in there, Kevin Durant, Karl Anthony Towns, and Isaiah Thomas, all at a cheaper price. That would you say more about half, at least 50 to 75% of the time is going to match or exceed James Harden?
Sure.
So what do I – with an inflated ownership, with him being on the East Coast, on the back end of a back-to-back, after an emotional game last night, and I don't care who you are, if you're telling me that James Harden does not like to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, then you're lying to yourself because he does. It's the team he was drafted by, third overall. He does.
I don't know if anybody was questioning that, but sure.
Exactly. And then traveling – to the East Coast after that game, and now you're losing an hour of rest time. Not saying that Harden can't go for 50 fantasy points, not real life points, Connie.
Right.
Not saying that he can't go for 50. I'm just saying that with the inflated ownership after last night's game, I can go get DeMarcus Cousins on the West Coast going against the Clippers. I can go get Giannis going against the Knicks. I can go get LeBron going against Brooklyn. I can go get John Wall versus Minnesota, Durant versus Memphis, Isaiah versus Philly, and I could have a realistic chance of getting lower ownership on some of these guys, maybe some higher, depending on how roster build goes throughout the day and what type of value opens up, even though we've had some, since we've jumped all the phone together, we've had some disappear now. You know, you could realistically basically say that, you know, Harden is, for his price, is a trap tonight in tournaments. Now, in cash games, if you want to throw Harden in there and lock in your 50 points, go right ahead. I have no problems with that. I'm not going to tell you that you should not play. Well, okay, maybe I am. James Harden will be the number two shooting guard tonight, and it's price considered because of the fact that of everything I just said. And it has to do with the Vegas money line going. Now, if this Vegas money line skyrockets in the favor of the Houston Rockets, then it might change. But as of right now, James Harden is number two.
Yeah, and, you know, I know that you mentioned, I don't know if you saw any of the Vegas stuff before calling your fade on Harden deep into the night last night.
No, the Vegas stuff just affirmed it.
Okay. But no, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you got to think about it. You know, the Rockets game last night started at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Tonight they're playing 7 o'clock Eastern time. I mean, that was just a down-to-the-wire sort of game. But again, too, the fact that the Rockets have not – and I think a lot of is going to be made about this, but the Rockets not losing a game all season. I mean, they've had some very tough circumstances that they've had to play on the back end of a back-to-back. I think it finally catches up to them tonight. And we've seen them kind of come out slow these last couple of games now. Last night they came out very slow against OKC. They had a recent performance against Washington where they came out slow. So you could see some just some regression going on with the Rockets. And, you know, maybe the fact that, you know, Orlando plays at a much slower pace than they do, maybe Orlando gets out to this hot start and just kind of slows them down to the point where they really can't come back. So, you know, you just got to kind of find a way that this game doesn't work, because everything in Vegas is saying that it is not going
to
work.
Not only that, but if I want to get exposure to Harden, I can go get it through Eric Gordon. I can go get it through Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, Patrick Beverley. I can go get it through his teammates to where it doesn't hurt me as much. You know, if Harden passes to Ariza and Ariza shoots the three, I get the three, Harden gets the 1.5 for the assist, I'm netting 1.5. You know, granted, if I stack them, I get the 4.5, but, you know, you got to think of it as a combined ownership. When you play Harden, not a lot of these Rockets are at a discounted price anymore. So you're really kind of taking a chance. But if I can go play Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, or Eric Gordon and Patrick Beverley, or Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza, or any combination of them, then I can gain my exposure through the highest total of the night on the Rockets side, without having to pay $11,800 on FanDuel to get there.
Sure. Absolutely. All right, so if the Magic are going to do well, I guess we should probably pick some Magic players in the highest total of the night. Aaron Gordon, 4,800 recently, has just been doing great things, 24.2, 38.2, 28 in his last three games. Again, this Rockets defense is not somebody that you should be afraid of going against, especially – being on the back end of a back-to-back. His direct matchup against Trevor Ariza is probably one of the best on the board tonight. Ariza is more of a name good defender than actually being a good defender. So I could certainly go there. I mean, Gordon's price is certainly right, and that could be a good way to go. But anything else you're interested here in?
Yeah, I want to know who's starting at the two for the Magic. I really, really, really want it to be Evan Fournier again. I want Elfrid Payton to go back to the bench. I think that's where we can gain the advantage there, just because if Elfrid Payton is announced a starter, yeah, he might still have a good game, but relative to his ownership, I'm willing to take that shot. I would rather then go to Aaron Gordon and Nikola Vucevic. We've talked about it in up-tempo games, and yeah, the Magic play at a slower pace, but that means that even though the Rockets play at a faster pace, it's going to kind of come back down to the mean. And the Rockets are going to, or not the Rockets, the Magic are going to have to, they're going to end up playing a little bit faster just because of how fast the Rockets do play. And I absolutely love Nikola Vucevic tonight because really, who's going to guard him? Nene's not going to play extended minutes on the back end of a back to back. That's kind of why they did the flip flop last night. I mean, it would really honestly it's going to kind of put Montrezl and Harrell firmly in play, and we all know I don't like playing him a lot, just because of that split, but. I know exactly why they did it. They talked about it last night on the Houston broadcast, that Nene was going to start against the bigger bigs of Oklahoma City, and Harrell, the more athletic one, was going to be matched up against the athletic ability of Nick Vucevic tonight. So I still don't think that Harrell's going to be able to guard Vooch. I mean, I guess you could put Ryan Anderson at the five if they want to go small, but I still give the advantage to Vooch. I love Vooch, and he's always going to be lower owned because he's not starting, quote unquote. He's going to get the usage with the second team, and guess what? He's got 50 point upside still. Don't be fooled by his price being lower because he's more inconsistent this year than he has been in the past. I mean, this is a guy that last year we were paying 85 to close to 9,000 for. And you're telling me that now I can get this guy at, you know, 6,900 and he's going to play 30, 31, 30, 27, 20. He's going to play 27 to 30 minutes. And if the game is close and he could play more, I mean, he could legitimately put up, and he's done it twice in the last five games, he could put up 39-plus fantasy points in 30 minutes or less.
I do dig. I dig. Do dig the Vooch. Boy, try saying that a couple times fast.
I do dig the Vooch.
I did the Vooch. And, yeah, the price has come down a little bit there, 6,900 on FanDuel. So, I mean, look, it's just a tick under 7,000. I don't really like paying in the sevens for Vucevic, but I guess I can make the exception at 6,900. But all right, let's get to our next game.
I was going to say, I don't see why not if he's playing. Yeah, he's not playing 35 minutes. Is it more of a minutes thing for you or because he's coming off the bench?
Yeah, more bench, but and here's the other thing too. I mean, we're looking for massive upside here. Okay. And that's rarely what Vuk does. I mean, I'm just scrolling through the box score right now. What like massive upside is, I don't know, 44, 48. I think there are lower price guys that can get to that tier. I mean, I do like Vuk in this matchup tonight. Everything about the fast pace is very appealing as well. It's just typically, you know, I've been burned by the Vuk, and again, the massive upside doesn't come around more often than I need it to.
It does if he plays 38 minutes. Now, I'm don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. I'm not projecting that he's going to play 38 minutes tonight. I'm just saying if he starts to get to that point where he's playing 35 to 38 minutes again, then you could see paying 7,300, 7,400 for him, even coming off the bench.
Hey, I'll pretty much pay up for anybody that's playing 38 minutes, you know?
So that's just where I wanted to kind of get the clarification. Guys, it's not that we, you know, it's not that he doesn't have the ability to put up the production. It has everything to do with the fact that, you know, right now in his role that he's currently playing on this team, he's a 32-minute max guy, and that's got upside in – you know, specific matchups, and usually those matchups are when he's going, the Magic are going to be forced to play a little bit higher in tempo, where Bismack Biyombo is going to be a little bit more of a hindrance than Vooch is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right,
that's just our kind of spelling behind that.
Let's move along to Brooklyn here. Cavs opened up as 12-point favorites in this game. You're going to see the number go up a little more, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. But the money line, damn near 2,000 at that one. And we got an over-under here of 220.5. That is the second highest total of the night, mainly because Brooklyn Nets play at the fastest pace in the NBA. That'll certainly kick things up a notch for the Cavs. All right, a couple spread notes here. Nets are 17-15-2 against the spread as an underdog, 9-7 against the spread as a home underdog. More importantly, though, which they are tonight, Nets are 7-5 against the spread as double-digit underdogs, but they are 1-3 in their last four. That's because they've been actually playing very good teams, but they are double-digit underdogs when they play very good teams. But interesting to note here, too, the Cavs are 16-16-2 against the spread this season, so not necessarily blowing a whole lot of teams out. All right, reason why you're going to see that spread jump up for the Cavs tonight, that's because Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love are both already confirmed as being back for the Cavs tonight. That, along with LeBron James, should make this one hell of a rodeo going on at the Barclays Center tonight. So, and then also, too, for the Nets, Jeremy Lin's doubtful. He's missed the last four games with a hamstring injury. And then Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is questionable. He missed the last game as a hip. There's a bit of rumblings that was done for precautionary measures, but we shall see what happens around 7 o'clock tonight. Okay, where are we looking at from this perceived ass-kicking first?
Well, originally, I had all the interest in LeBron, even if one of the other two play, just one of the other two. Now with all of them back, that opens up a little bit more. That shifts my interest from LeBron, even though he's got the quote-unquote better matchup or best matchup. I'm going from LeBron to Kevin Love and Kyrie. More Love than Kyrie, just because hamstrings kind of concern me with point guards because of how much they handle the ball. But it's a little bit different with Kyrie because LeBron does a lot of the ball handling as well. So it's obviously it's the big three. They're all in play. If I had to rank him, it would go Love, Kyrie, LeBron, just because we've seen LeBron in these matchups kind of just, okay, Love, let's have you can have your game. Kyrie can do his thing. And then if we need it, I'll do my thing later. So,
yeah. I get my favorite play from it, I guess, might have to be Kyrie Irving, but I mean, the pace has certainly jumped up on him. The reason being, and it's not even that it's going to hold LeBron down, but you're going to see Trevor Booker on LeBron James tonight, and you'll probably see Kevin Love draw Bogdanovich. Booker is just a sick bastard. He always likes taking on the marquee star. So, like when they play the Warriors, he's on Durant. And
he's trying to make that money.
Yep.
As a lockdown defender.
Booker's big enough, he's mobile enough that he can kind of hang with LeBron, so that's where you'll see that matchup. But again, that gives Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love much easier matchups. So yeah, I could certainly go with either guy here. Now, I mean, DeAndre Liggins, he'll be in the starting lineup, but I mean, you know, it's not like
he's going to be needed to guard. Like he has exactly. In the past. Because who are you going to focus on? Joe Harris? Isaiah Whitehead? Gross. I mean, you can't put Liggins on Bogey or Booker.
I'm interested to see if they don't even, like, if they...
Maybe Kilpatrick, if he comes off the bench again? They kind of match
them. That's what I was going to say. I'm interested to see if they stagger Liggins out of the starting lineup and maybe go... But again, it's they're playing the Nets, so I don't think they have to get too technical with... their lineup or anything like that. But But yeah, again, it would probably Kyrie and Love me for just for money purposes. But I mean, my God, Kyrie's salary has absolutely shot up. Although, I mean, all three of these guys' matchups should be, you know, more than okay. So it's kind of a pick or choose sort of thing there. And then, you know, for the Nets, we know it's Sean Kilpatrick's birthday. So there's that narrative.
Happy
but,
birthday, buddy. I got
indeed,
you right yesterday. Yay. Hopefully
yeah,
you didn't blow your wad yesterday. Yay. Because I'm going to play you again tonight. Yay.
I am. No, he. Oh, my God. I can't. Whitehead only played 13 minutes last night, but I think he could play more tonight. And I don't get why. You know, like, I guess because Sean Kilpatrick was doing so well, they went more towards him, but 13 minutes
yeah,
last
because
night.
Because nobody
Whitehead.
Else on the Nets did well.
Yeah,
freaking
just,
bogey
it
with
make,
a six.
It really does not make sense. So maybe – so since Isaiah Whitehead played 13 minutes last night, maybe they go to him. I heard something like Jeremy Lin could be ready to play tonight, but I seriously doubt it.
Let me ask you a question, okay?
Sure.
They don't have – or they won't have gosh, dang it. Who's the other guy that they – who's the guy that they just traded for Kyle Korver? Mike Dunleavy. Is it Dunleavy?
I don't know that they.
Yeah,
I
they
have
just.
No idea.
It was Mo them. Williams, a first round pick in 2017, and Mike Dunleavy are going to the Atlanta Hawks for Kyle Korver, and I think a salary, I think a trade exception. I could be wrong on the final parts, but anyways. So Dunleavy's going to be out of the rotation tonight. That could open up a little bit more for Richard Jefferson or Amon Shumpert. But your value options of Jordan McRae, Kay Felder, Channing Frye, you know, they're all pretty much shot. I do have a question, though. I have two questions for you.
Before you ask your question, I just saw Jeremy Lin will not play. So
okay, that makes it a little bit easier. That means Isaiah Whitehead is a little bit more intriguing because we all know what Kyrie Irving defense is like. Although if I remember correctly, he's not doing too bad this year on the DRPM. So, anyways, could you possibly play first question is this: do you have any interest in either one of the bigs for in this game, Brooke Lopez, Tristan Thompson? That's kind of my thought too.
No, that was kind of my thought too. Although I mean, we saw it last night with Miles Turner. I mean, we've seen centers just go absolutely bananas on the Nets, so.
But it changes. It changes with Love and Irving in the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I that was going to be my next point. But I was going to say, yeah, the fact that all three of the marquee players are back, that definitely takes away from them. So no, I don't.
Okay. The next question is this possibly a bogey night? Because this price is very tempting for the 30-point upside that he can have, and he's only 4,100.
I mean, he's going to be asked to do a lot on the offensive end tonight. Oh boy.
The problem with it is since Kilpatrick went to the bench, he saw a lot of the usage that Bogey was seeing when he went to the bench.
Right.
So now it's more of the it's a lot. Yeah, I don't think I can go there again tonight.
It's going to be a very tough spot to project. And look, if the Nets do somehow do well, you can let that beat you tonight because believe me, they're not going to be highly owned at all. I don't know, and the fact that we don't know just kind of makes it a risky play already. So, I'm comfortable with fading all Nets.
Okay.
I'd like to give my boys, or I'd like to show my boys some favoritism. It's just not working out.
I'll have one lineup with Sean Kilpatrick again just because it's his birthday. It normally goes bobbleheads, birthdays, then, everything else. But he did play well last night. Maybe he can piggyback that into two games in a row and go from there. So.
All right, let's get to our next game here. We've got the Philadelphia 76ers at the Boston Celtics. Celtics opened up as 12.5 point favorites, has gone down a point to minus 11.5, minus 950 on the money line. Pretty significant total there. And our over-under total tonight, 213.5. So let's take a couple spread notes here. Celtics are 16-9 against the spread as favorites this season. That's very good. But only 6-7 against the spread as a home favorite. Celtics have covered 8 of their last 10 games overall, and the Sixers have covered 3 of their last 4. A couple injury notes here. Joel Embiid is questionable with some what is that? Gastroenteritis?
Gastroenteritis.
There you go. That's a tough one to swallow. What? Robert Covington also questionable with some back soreness. He got injured during practice yesterday, had to leave early. And then Sergio Rodriguez, who missed the last two games with an ankle injury, and Gerald Henderson, who missed the last three games with a hip injury, are probable for tonight. Tyler Zeller is doubtful. He missed the last two games with a sinus issue. And that is it for all the injuries. So, given all that news, what are we looking at here for this game?
Well, I've got a sneaky play in this game, and I will get to that one here in a moment. So don't let me
Okay.
forget. But it depends on which side you want to start out on.
Let's start with Boston because they are
Jay
the
Crowder.
perceived kickers in this one.
Jay Crowder.
Ooh, I had his name written down. Nice.
I am firmly. I've got, I think, six lineups tonight. I might end up with more. Just because, I've got a first couple days of Q season I got to chase.
Sure.
Hi, my name's Keith. I'm a Q whore. 12-step process, Keith. 12-step process. But yeah, I'm probably starting out with Jay Crowder, just because some guys that I respect in the industry up in are that actually base themselves out of Boston. He got on to them for cheering.
Tommy and Sully.
Yeah, he got on to him for cheering on. He got onto the Boston fans for cheering on Gordon Hayward, because that's their boy and everything like that.
I'd be pissed too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of nice. He's going to get a nice rounding ovation. He blasted them on Twitter, and he is going to be motivated. And this is not a bad spot to be motivated for.
No, not at all. I would think that you need to be motivated for this spot, in all honesty.
Yeah, but when you do this for a living day in and day out, and you've got to kind of every once in a while find an extra oomph or two to kind of get motivated. Now, with Philly coming to town, that's not really the greatest thing to get motivated for. I'd rather him do that with
That was
Cleveland
my
or
point, yes.
Golden State coming to town. But with that said, this is a matchup where, Jay Crowder is $5,300. He's been that price forever. He's either paid it off or just barely exceeded or barely underperformed. He's not really gonna, his high point this year is 30. I think he actually gets past 30 tonight.
Yeah, you would like to see that. And, again, too, if Covington's going to be out for this game or he does have a little bit of back soreness, that
And
certainly
James Young
plays
is
into his
doubtful
favor.
too.
Who
So
is?
James Young.
Yeah, you know what I've been doing lately with the injury report? Only putting people that matter. Sorry.
Sorry, I got.
Honestly, because a
Sorry,
couple
that's my
days ago,
fault.
I was writing on the article.
I got James Young and Jaylen Brown mixed up. Sorry,
Yeah, I
Jaylen
was
Brown is the guy that's been
on
playing. James Young is the guy that's been running the pine the whole year.
for like the Clippers, they have just so many like ridiculous injuries that nobody gives a shit
their
about.
Injury
I'm
report,
them down.
Bill Belichick
and I'm like,
would be
yeah,
impressed
I'm like, why
with Doc
am I
Rivers
even writing about like Bryce Johnson? Like, who gives a shit? Like,
yeah, Bill Belichick
whatever.
Would be
but
impressed
yes.
with Doc Rivers' injury reports.
dear Lord. Geez. So yeah, that would be great. I mean, again, if Covington misses the game, we could probably expect Gerald Henderson to slide in there at the three. He has not been good on defense at all lately. Former Dookie, which I always got love for, but you know, certainly it's funny that you like Crowder too, because I, you know, before we do the pod, I just write a couple or type out a couple guys that I have interest in, and he was one of them. So very cool.
You ready for some more?
Isaiah Thomas, is he on that list anymore?
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, the dude's actually playing like one of the best point guards in the freaking NBA right now.
I wrote this on Twitter the other day, as I'm sure millions of people have, but if he's not an all-star this season, the whole system is defunct.
Well, it's just like Damian Lillard wasn't an all-star last year for some reason.
Yeah, but the Western Conference has
I don't care for you to have to
I know,
have...
they should have found a spot for him.
Exactly.
I'm fully aware.
So that was my whole thing is...
Yeah. Kobe, you take your exemption. You get the hell on out of here.
Well, it's not that, but you know, if you're gonna put somebody in like Kobe, then create an extra roster spot because that's a career achievement award. That's not like he deserved it last year. You know, now obviously he's not gonna say I'm not going to go to the All-Star game because that's extra money in his pocket. But you know, if you're gonna do that, then if you're gonna have a career achievement guy, then just automatically put them in, and so everybody can say their goodbyes, and then just go. It's just kind of one of those things. But Isaiah Thomas, obviously. I think Avery Bradley is in play. Al Horford's got a good matchup. Amir Johnson's got a good matchup. Since Embiid's going to be out.
Do you think it's a scenario where this is too good of a matchup that everybody gets in on the mix?
Yeah, I think what you need to do is you need to pick and choose. You can't – I don't think this is a team that you want to stack. You can put, like, maybe Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder or Isaiah Thomas and Amir Johnson or Bradley and Horford or Crowder and Horford or, you know – there's one other guy that I have interest in as well. So,
who that?
Oh, Mr. Gonzaga himself.
Oh,
Kelly Olynyk.
I was gonna say, that's not where Marcus Smart went to college.
No. Oh, yeah. Marcus Smart's another one, actually. I have him in the lineup right now as well. But both Kelly Olynyk and Marcus Smart, you know, they. We've got now. Here's the thing. I've been warned. I was warned last night that if I qualified for the WFBBC, and out of those lineups, all the lineups that I've put in, if I did not play Marcus Smart on the night he was playing and he scored over 25 FanDuel points, that I was gonna have to answer to my wife. And I'm sorry, no offense, but you know. I run the household, but she scares the shit out of me.
Runs the household.
Yeah,
got
exactly.
It.
Marcus Smart's her boy, man.
Being
an Oklahoma State guy and everything. So, but Kelly Olynyk, obviously he's going to get, extra minutes with Tyler Zeller out of the rotation. Now I do think that maybe a couple of them could go to Jonas Jerebko, but, where Jonas Jerebko is going to see 13 minutes, maybe upwards of 15, Kelly Olynyk's going to see closer to that 25 range because they can put Horford at the four, when Amir Johnson comes out and put Olynyk at the five, or they can put Olynyk at the four and Amir Johnson at the five. So there's, you know, he's going to have some minutes where he's playing the four. He's going to have extended minutes because of there's a guy out of that rotation, and he's going to be going against the likeness of the Philadelphia 76ers, who in no way, shape, form, or fashion are good at defending anybody on any
Little better
end.
this season. They are 19th in defensive efficiency, but you're right. They're not good.
So that's
Little better.
there's
Little better.
legitimately seven players in play in tournaments tonight for Boston.
Yes. And I like sneakily, or the conspiracy theorist in me thinks it's too much almost. So yeah, again, like you said, you got to pick and choose,
You're
but
gonna
I'm
have to
not
take a stand.
expecting massive upside from anybody tonight.
Yeah, you're gonna have to take a stand. If I were only playing like one or two lineups, I would lean more to the cheaper guys since they don't have to do quite as much. Instead of like Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford, maybe go to a Jay Crowder or Marcus Smart, Amir Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, go to them instead because they don't have to do as much in order to pay it off. And those positions are a little bit more scarce as far as power forward and well, not center, but power forward and small forward tonight. That would probably be where I would lean as far as like one or two lineups. But if you're making, six, seven, 10 or above, then I mean, you can definitely mix and match these guys all in or that are all in play tonight.
Oh, shout. All right, let's get to the next one here. We got the New York Knicks at
Whoa, whoa,
Milwaukee
whoa,
Bucks.
whoa. You have
Oh.
no interest in Philly at all?
Nah, I just forgot that they were even in the game, to be quite honest with
Well, they might not
you.
be for long, but we do have a
No,
situation to talk about with Joel Embiid
go ahead. I completely forgot. Go ahead.
having with Embiid having gastrointestinitis and who God knows what they're going to do with freaking Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor. I mean, he's 4,400. If he's who knows, whatever. Anyways, with Embiid out, I think we can go to Dario Saric and Ersan Ilyasova again. I think those are
Yeah,
the only
absolutely.
two that are really, really in play. Saric has been playing phenomenal basketball lately, considering he's a Sixer. And Ersan Ilyasova is playing like he wants out of Philly, to be completely honest.
No, Ersan said he likes Philly.
Yeah, of course he would. They're giving his paycheck. He doesn't want to get booed. And he's getting all the run possible that he could possibly eat right now.
I think he digs the fact that he's getting a lot of usage. Like he's not gonna get this anywhere else. So
Yeah, especially after coming off the bench for
he
12
likes
minutes
what
in
he's
Oklahoma
doing.
City. That was a failed experiment. But yeah, Dario Saric, Ersan Ilyasova are pretty much you might hear some rumblings later on in the day about Okafor. I'm not going there.
Revenge game to the whole city of Boston.
Yeah. Okafor's revenge game is like Kelly Olynyk's meh, I'm just gonna show up and with the flowing locks.
what would be interesting? What the Celtics should be doing, they should be going after Nerlens Noel. They could certainly use a physical guy down low. So if they're smart, maybe they get a little interaction going before the game. Maybe try to work something out. But I think the Boston would be a very good fit for Noel.
Are we talking a possible tampering situation here? Like
Yeah,
Draymond with Durant?
tamper the shit out of this guy. Absolutely.
I mean, I agree. I think Nerlens Noel would fit in good in Boston.
That would be the perfect fit for Nerlens Noel.
So, yeah, I
And
mean, I don't mind that.
Noel would be the perfect fit for Boston. So, yes, absolutely. All
Go.
right. Yeah, that's all I had. I'm probably not going to go to any Sixers tonight. That's crazy. All right. Next game. New York Knicks at the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks, 6-point favorites in this one. -215 on the money line. 213.5 over under in this one. I have not been impressed with the Knicks on the road this season. They are 5-12.
And everybody else that picked them to
Yeah.
be a top four seed in the play or a top five seed in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference this year.
I did.
Oh, was that you? I'm sorry.
That was not me.
Oh,
That was
no. I
most
said
certainly
you
not
and
me.
everybody else that did because I know didn't. I know
no,
we didn't.
No, hell no.
But
no, especially when Vegas only had them pegged for, what, 38 wins? Absolutely not. But a couple notes here, which actually might favor them to make this a competitive game tonight. Knicks actually 21-14 against the spread in all games this season. Their game over 500 against the spread as a road team, as a road underdog, blah, blah, blah. The Bucks actually two games under 500 against the spread this season. They are better at home, though, 10-8 against the spread, and 6-5 is a home favorite. You know, Bucks really starting to come together as a team right now, you know, play much better ball. Although, you know, again, I do think that the Knicks can make this a competitive game. These two teams just played on Wednesday night, so they are both fresh in each other's minds. You know, this is the game where the Greek had the phenomenal buzzer beater at the end there. But you got to remember, too, here, Knicks are going to have Kristaps Porzingis back tonight, so that makes a huge difference to what the Knicks can do. So let me ask you this. With the return of Porzingis, is that going to detract you away from the Greek at all, or does that no effect whatsoever?
Is the Greek still a freak?
Oh, he is so freaky.
Is freak even in the word of other than length? Okay. Let me stop and rephrase that. We discuss Kristaps Porzingis, is sure. Freak a word that we use for him other than the freakishly long arms and legs that he has?
For Porzingis, I don't know if we go freak. We go circus boy.
Yes, I have 0-0-0 deter. That wasn't even a word.
Deterrence.
There we go. I have zero deterrence as far as
I got Giannis the dictionary right next tonight. To me.
You give me straight up night in, night out at, you know, $1,000 discount or $800 discount or whatever it is right now currently between Harden and Giannis, I'm going to take Giannis every single time. I mean, it's $1,100 discount, and you're telling me, and, you know, 80% of the time, I'm going to come within 5 points of Harden with Giannis. Okay. So you're telling me that only 20% you're telling me 2 out of 10 times that I roster Giannis Antetokounmpo, because it seems like Giannis and Harden are always on the same slate. Very, very rarely does one play without the other.
You mentioned this the other day. Yeah. It's freaky is what it is.
There, again, is that word with Giannis, freak.
It's freaky in a Greek sort of way.
But it's one of the things that I've been doing all year, and I've had success with it. If I have interest in them, if they're in good matchups, I play Giannis over James Harden. And I take the money and I go play somewhere else.
Yeah, and again, this Knicks defense is absolutely terrible. You know, we've talked about their struggles on the road. This is certainly a great spot to go. By the way, there's been so many people on TV now that the Greek is on this huge run. They're saying, oh, he would be a much more popular player if people could pronounce his last name. So let's do a little
It's not that difficult. Antetokounmpo. So you basically instead of antenna, you put instead of the na, you put kumpo.
Right.
Can you pronounce kumpo?
Anteto.
Antetokounmpo.
Okay. Anteto, just think about that. Anteto. And then kumpo. And remember, the N always comes before the M in his last name. Antetokounmpo. Very simple.
We just could call him the AK-47.
We could. It makes me seem more worldly. No, because somebody asked me, like, how do you remember
how
to spell
now
that
you've
name?
Now you've got to add in the accent to it. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Yeah. I mean, I like it. It makes me look like a worldly basketball knowledge.
Well traveled.
Yes, indeed. I went to London once. It was a scary flight over, but, you know, that's another story. All right, so in terms of this game, I think we know that Antetokounmpo is the guy that we want to go to for the Bucks. What's up with Jabari, man? Last two games I use him. Great matchups for him. stinks up the joint. Can he totally redeem himself tonight?
Let's see. He's going to be on. He's going to be on Kristaps. See, I'm going to have to do some research on this one. I'm going to have to look a little bit deeper on this one. I would like to say that I still have faith in your boy, but the return of Kristaps does hinder me a little bit on that one. Because it depends on where Kristaps is going to play too, because we all saw that Joakim Noah cannot handle Greg Monroe. It's just not even a possibility. I mean, Greg Monroe eats him for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and spits him out for dessert. So I'll have to do some digging and see where that. Right now, it's like a meh. I could see it being a bounce back game. I don't have any real interest right now, but that could change. It's up in the air. So
okay. All right. Now we got other two. Yeah, the Monroe play there is interesting, and then Melvin Brogdon has been a guy that's been doing some decent work. I haven't been totally impressed with the upside prior to that game against the Knicks. Yeah, I know he had the triple double the one game in Chicago, but again, this is just a fantastic matchup for him. So I'm not gonna. I'm probably not going to overlook him tonight. Derrick Rose has been one of the worst defensive RPM players out there in the league this season. So, and that's not only for point guards. That's players in general. So, yeah, I could certainly go with some Brogdon in this matchup. But again, we've seen teams, with these home and home series, they tend to be a little more defensive the second time around.
Yeah. I'd like to do some research on that too, on all the home-to-home series that we've seen. Exactly what happens the first game, and how many times it happens really close to the second game, because it's kind of like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. Kind of like what we talk about with the Vegas lines when 90% of the people run towards one side, we run towards the other, and we get the upside and capitalize off the variance that takes place. If you go by that theory, that means that Greg Monroe's a fade, and Jabari Parker is the play. That would also mean that Giannis is. Well, Giannis is still Giannis. That Malcolm Brogdon, he's gonna play. He's 4,600. He's so hard to pass up. So hard to pass up. At 4,600, this guy needs to be 5,600 at least minimum. If Deli is out, which I think he will be too, then I have obviously, Malcolm Brogdon is the number one value player at point guard, especially with the LeBron and Kyrie or Kyrie and Kevin Love playing now. But I want to look and see if, like we've had a couple of these home and home series. And it always seems like whatever happens the first game really doesn't happen the next game,
Mm-hmm.
So I think if that's the case. Oh, and, Kristaps is going to be in play tonight, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's just
fantastic matchup against Jabari.
And it's, yeah, not only that, but it's a trend that we've seen literally. Pretty much going, we haven't really tracked it, so I couldn't give you it happens 12 out of or 10 out of 12 times or whatever. But, guys that are game time decisions, very rarely do they bust on their returning game, and we've gotten really, really good ownership numbers, minus Goran Dragic the other night. We've gotten right. really, really good ownership numbers. I wish this news would have came out a little bit closer to lock. I hate the fact that it came out so early, because now people are going to be able to kind of digest this situation all day long.
Yeah, I figured you would have been able to read between the lines there, because he was very close to playing in that last game on Wednesday. And yeah, I kind of figured he'd be playing today anyway. So.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
All right.
That's kind of where I'm going with there. So this game is really a toss-up, so it's going to depend on what my research kind of uncovers.
Yeah, I'm not too enthralled with too many Knicks here. I mean, Noah's definitely going to take a step back in production with Porzingis in the lineup. You're not going to see as many, you know, rebounds and other sorts of peripherals. So I think he's off the table, even though he's still very, very, how do I say this? Just very generously priced for this matchup here.
Who's that?
But Joakim Noah.
Oh, okay. Oh, we didn't even talk about him.
Mm-mm.
But that's right, with okay. The last three games without Kristaps. Well, I guess the Atlanta game too. But last three games without Kristaps, he's been averaging right around 30 minutes a game. I think with Porzingis back, it kind of goes back down to that 25 mark. But still at 5,100. Dude, that's too. Is that too expensive?
For Noah?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking he has to hit 28, 29 for you to be happy in tournaments at 5,100. Really, honestly, you want him to hit 30 minimum. And he's right. done that four out of the last five, but that is in no way, shape, form, or fashion anywhere close to being his floor.
No, definitely not. I'm probably going to be looking elsewhere just because Porzingis is back in the lineup.
Oh, and Carmelo Anthony's the biggest fade in the world. He's the easiest fade tonight.
I hate him. I hate him so much.
We called it the other night without Kristaps. He was in play, and he was a phenomenal play. But with Kristaps back in the lineup, and everybody that's going to be chasing him, and that 50-point game, saying, "Oh, it's the same matchup," and blah 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 blah. He's the easiest fade for me. Like, he's not even going to make the sheet.
I did not even want to play him last night or the other night. And then somebody asked me, I was like, I really don't like him. Like, he's in a good spot, but I don't like him. It's just, I hate him as a fantasy player. All right, moving along here. We've got the Miami Heat at the Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers opened up as 3-point favorites in this game despite being on the back end of a back-to-back. -140 on the money line they are. And we've got a total of 210 that it opened up at, currently at 212 right now. I'm sure we're going to see that fluctuate a couple times throughout the day. However, interesting to note here, as a favorite this season, the Lakers are 1-5-1 against the spread, 1-4-1 against the spread as a home favorite. So definitely something to look at there. And then the Miami Heat are 11-8 against the spread on the road this season, 11-7 against the spread as a road underdog. A couple of injury news here. Hassan Whiteside, Justice Winslow are both out. They didn't even travel with the team. So
Hassan Whiteside is back with the team.
No shit.
Yes,
when did that
he
happen?
Is. He tweeted out a picture. I'm looking for it right now, but he tweeted out a picture yesterday. He is with the team, so this is a situation that we do have to keep an eye out. They're saying that it shouldn't make a difference, but I am pulling it up right now. Just posted a video on Instagram. Oh, nope, that's not it. I'll have to find it, but yes, he is back with the team.
That's not cool. All right. Regardless of that, and then we've also got Larry Nance is going to be out for the Lakers, missed the last seven games with knee injury. And then Luol Deng going to be questionable. He missed last night's game with the bicep contusion. So that's a name we got to look out for. Yeah, I mean, all those numbers, the Lakers, against the spread as a favorite, home favorite, whatnot, don't necessarily bode well for them. But I think the Heat should be just fine tonight. When we're talking about Goran, guys like Goran Dragic should be good. James Johnson in the mix as well. I mean, who pops to the top for you?
For the Heat, it is
Yes.
everybody that has a pulse,
Okay.
not named Dion Waiters or Josh Richardson. Unfortunately, with the Dion Waiters coming back, that means that Josh Richardson's going to take a little bit of a hit because Tyler Johnson has been playing phenomenal, and it creates beyond Dragic and Tyler Johnson. It creates a muddy situation there. They don't have a minutes cap on Deion Waiters yet. Like they probably have a cap, but they haven't let us know what it is. I'm not expecting them to let us know, but it could be a possibility. I don't know how people read the situation wrong the other day, but after James Johnson and Tyler Johnson missed the game the other night, I don't, and it wasn't for like injuries or anything, it's just 'cause they were sick. I don't see how they I don't see how people missed reading that because I was all over Tyler, or I was all over James Johnson that next night. Here's what scares me is
Boogeyman.
this is the perfect situation. Perfect situation for guys like James Johnson and guys like Tyler Johnson and Goran Dragic. Tyler Johnson's price is starting to get up there a little bit. I mean, he's only $1,000 less than Goran Dragic. Now he can legitimately. They played the same amount of minutes last time. I can't remember if that was because of foul trouble or not, but you could legitimately. I know some of the newfound correlation aspects of NBA DFS poo-poos against it, but one of my bigger nights was with both Dragic and Tyler Johnson on the court or in the same lineup at the same time, because they're going to run on the court together. Tyler Johnson's going to run backup point with Josh Richardson, and Dragic's going to obviously run get some big amount of usage with the first team, especially with Hassan Whiteside out. So those are, and now you take out Justice Winslow, who's out for the year. It's kind of one of those things. So I guess if you held a gun to my head, I'd have to say Tyler Johnson just because it's $1,000 cheaper. But if I had the money, I don't mind going to Dragic either. I'll have exposure to both of them.
Yeah. Again, remember too, Lakers giving up shit ton of points inside the paint this season. In fact, most in the NBA. So, attack them down low as always. James Johnson's probably gonna be my favorite play there. Really, nobody else to compete with that except Willie Reed. But we know James Johnson, greater sign Willie Reed. It's a fact of life. James Johnson would have kind of had a Willie Reed night on the other night when they played the Kings. What was that, Wednesday?
Yep.
But he got into early foul trouble. I mean, he came. He
It could have
popped
been.
right
He
off the
could have had a
bat.
triple double if he didn't. If he would have got or kept his stripper hands to himself.
He is a massive human being. Like, I
Neck
just realized
tap.
this
He's
since he got to
huge.
Miami. But I just didn't realize it while he was with the Raptors. I guess because he was never on the court. But he is a mammoth dude. Like, he could legit be a center. So. Good for, and he was initially a small forward on FanDuel this season. Very good job, guys. All right, what about the Lakers side of things? Worst rotation in the NBA in terms of how their minutes are getting thwarted out. You got guys like Tariq Black, Thomas Robinson just hanging out on the bench, like doing their taxes, whatever the hell they're doing on there. Lou Williams didn't have a great shooting night, but last night, but he still should have been on the court more. What do you do? You just fade this whole situation with the exception of Randall, or what do you do? My thoughts exactly.
If you tell me that he's going to play 35 minutes, I'm all in on Julius Randle. Well, maybe not all in because I want to get some Ersan and some Draymond and some Amir and stuff like that. But I will have a lot of Julius Randle. He is... Not that I ever questioned it. I only questioned the rotation and Luke Walton's ineptitude to... Not ineptitude, that's wrong. That makes him sound like he's... incapable of doing it. His unwillingness to play a lot of these guys over 30, 32 minutes. But even now with Thomas Robinson back in the fold, you know, and Timofey Mozgov playing and Tariq Black back, he's been playing Julius Randle, who's his best player right now, and he's been playing like it. He's still too cheap for the production he's doing. The question I have, okay, and I'm going to ask.
This is going to be the question of the night?
This is the question of the night. What does Luke Walton do on the back end of a back-to-back now that he's been playing these guys extended minutes? Then they're what they're used to. Because you looked at it. I mean, D'Angelo Russell, another 35 minutes last night. These guys are producing when getting the minutes. Now, the shooting guard situation kind of took a little bit of a turn, but I think that had more to do with the fact that Luol Deng was out. Jordan Clarkson being questionable could throw a big hit into it. Lou Williams is firmly in play at 4,900 tonight. Even if we don't, and I hope we don't get the news, but with these guys, I mean, why do you not sit these guys out tonight? Just play your studs. Just go for the win. Just goes balls out. Play a nice condensed rotation because I think they have the next 3 or 4 days off, if I'm not mistaken.
I will look into that. But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, look, Miami's going to have to pretty much go with a smaller lineup. So, yeah, the Lakers would certainly have to counteract with that. I mean, Walton was talking about it last night. They interviewed him after the third, before the fourth or whatever. But he was just talking about how Portland goes with a smaller lineup. And, you know, Williams still wasn't really getting a ton of run in that situation. So I don't know. It's just this is one of the most frustrating situations in all of basketball. I mean, they Here's do have a lot of talent in their rotation. It's just it's tough to divvy it up, I guess.
Here's what makes it even more frustrating. This is – we're January 6th. This will be their fourth game in 6 nights.
Mm-hmm.
They played January 1st, 3rd, 5th. That was 3 games in 5 nights. And now here's 4 and 6. They do play on Sunday, but that's at home. They're at home against Orlando. So they've got a nice little 3-game homestand, and they're playing – they're on a run right now where they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 – 6, 7, 8 of 9 at home. And their one road trip was just to Portland last night. So, I mean, they're not taxed as far as travel. So, back into back-to-back, you know, coming off of Portland, that's not a bad flight. Yeah, it's about 3.5 hours, but... you know, these guys are in L.A., who cares? But they haven't been traveling a lot, so the 4 and 6 nights doesn't worry me quite as much. I'm willing to take some chances on them. D'Angelo Russell is in a great spot. Julius Randle's in a great spot. Lou Williams. Dare I say Nick Young. Nick Young's in play on DraftKings where you're going to get that 3-point bonus. Cause that's really all he's going to do is just jack up the threes.
Right.
So.
All right. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's a situation I would rather stay away from, but if any news comes to the forefront, We shall see. All right. Memphis Grizzlies at the Golden State Warriors. Warriors 14-point favorites in this one. They opened up as -1600 on the money line. Total of 215.5. And for spread notes, you get none for this game because there are no interesting ones. Both teams are right around 500 against the spread in pretty much every aspect of it. Nothing really stands out from this. So I'm just going to go with what I think here in this game. I feel like, you know, this could be a game that the Warriors win convincingly. We haven't seen a spread on the Warriors, I don't want to say this low since it's at, 13 or whatever the hell it's at. Like the last three games, the Warriors have been favored by 16, 15.5, 17.5, and they didn't cover any of them. But you want to go all the way back to a three-game stretch from December 17th to the 22nd, where they were favored in games by 14, 12.5, 13.5, and they covered all three of those games. The fact that this is a lower number against the Grizzlies. Now, we talked about this too, I think, before the show. But the fact that we've got a total of 214.5 in a Warriors game kind of seems like easy money. But I feel like they're trying to tell us something here. And I think that's the fact that the Warriors are probably just going to handle the Grizzlies very well in this game. I don't think that lower number on the total is coming from their pocket. I think that's coming from the Grizzlies' pocket. What do you think?
I think you're right. I don't have any doubt that this is still going to be a good game that we want to target. In fact, it's probably one of my favorite games that I want to target tonight. I really, this one and then the next one we're going to get to. It's Kevin Durant, it's Draymond Green, it's Klay Thompson. That's all I can play on Golden State. Curry's going to have inflated ownership tonight. Can't do it.
You think so, huh?
Yeah. After he put up 47 last game? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if you want to pay if you want to pay $8,100 for cash games and get Curry and get 35 to 37 to 40, then yeah, fine. But you know, I mean, if you're expecting him to go for 45 plus tonight, then I mean, he's done it three times, or he's done it twice in his last 10 games. That's just not Curry's role anymore. It's not who he is. Now, if Durant or Klay get hurt and or miss the game or rest, or something like that happens, then yes, absolutely. Then Curry is underpriced. But right now, I think he's overpriced.
Fair enough. Yeah, we've talked about Curry at great length, about him not being the superstar that he once was. That was a fantastic matchup for all the Warriors last game. I believe Curry, Durant, and Dre all hit value, if I'm not mistaken. But Klay was the one that did not, thanks. That really screwed the pooch for me in the late night contest on Wednesday. But I guess I can forgive some folks. I would probably rather have Durant the most out of anybody in this matchup. I talk about this with Draymond Green. Sure, he can get you, he could get you to value. I mean, I think there's been only one game that he was under 30 FanDuel points this season, and that one game was 29. So, you know, he's always going to get you points. There's no doubt about that. It's just, the upside for him always kind of just makes me bang my head against the wall. I mean, the other night when he got the triple-double, I mean, in terms of FanDuel points, that was only – and I say only in italics, but it was only like 51 fantasy points. I don't feel like his upside is totally massive. I'm definitely the minority on that one, and it's funny too, because not having Dre on the late slate on Wednesday was the big difference between hitting like 3-4 figures as opposed to the two figures that I hit, but I digress. It's going to be all Warriors for me in this game. I have zero interest in the Grizzlies. So
really?
I know Gasol could certainly hit his shots from the perimeter now, but I think we can find better spots at the center position.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could, but it's not like Gasol's a bad play going against Zaza Pachulia. Oh, and if you play Zaza Pachulia tonight thinking that the All-Star game narrative and all that, please don't. Please don't. Let me just know. Zaza,
I wasn't thinking about
you
it,
know
you
when
know,
Zaza
just
Pachulia is in play? Zaza Pachulia is in play on a
never.
three-game slate where you have like you have I Zaza's when you have the Dallas Mavericks on the slate and you have the LA Lakers and the
The Nets.
I was going to say no, because then it would be Brooke Lopez. The Philadelphia
They can't
76ers
rebound.
with Joel Embiid sitting. You know, I mean, that's when Zaza's in play. But yeah, no, but Marcus Hall's, yes, in play. I have a lot of interest in Memphis tonight. A lot of interest.
Oh.
Mike Conley.
You tell.
Mike Conley against Stephen, or against Stephen Curry. I'm going to start calling him Stephen Curry.
Steven.
Mike Conley against Curry. Yeah, I know he kind of shit the bed the second half of the last game against the Clippers, but you know he
Kinda.
freaking had what 24 in the first half. FanDuel points. He had 24 FanDuel points in the first half. And then you've got if JaMychal Green is out, then and Chandler Parsons is out, then James Enes. At 3,700.
Played very well last game.
Yeah, we completely read that situation wrong. And that's I will take full responsibility for that because I should have looked I should have known better. Yeah, I should have known better that they weren't going to extend Zebo's minutes like they did. And really, on the back end of a back-to-back, we should have kind of gauged that they were going to play him a little bit less. Expect Zebo to be back up to that 24, 25 mark. He's not in play going against Draymond, but James Enes, he's the one that got the minutes, and he played 36 minutes, 3,700. I have interest in him. Obviously, Marc Gasol, yes, and then. Tony Allen's probably too expensive for me to play him on FanDuel, but I believe on DraftKings he's cheaper. Tony Allen. Nope, he's more expensive on DraftKings. Never mind. Tony Allen's not in play. So yeah, it's those three. It's Conley. It's James Enes if JaMychal Green is out, which he's questionable. But the dude's got a broken orbital eye socket or whatever from friendly fire from I forgot who it was from. It might have been from James Enes actually. I don't expect him to play tonight, but let everybody else chase the JaMychal Green is out. I'm gonna go to Z-Bo. If we get word that Green is out, we're just going to pivot slightly over to James Enes and reap the salary rewards off of it.
All right. Yeah, that's all the Grizzlies analysis, because I don't have any. I don't like them, given the fact of what Vegas has and the total and whatnot. Blah, it's gross to me. All right, let's get to that last game of the night. Los Angeles Clippers at the Sacramento Kings. This one opened up as the Kings favored by 1.5. It is now a pick 'em. 207 total on this one gives us our lowest total of the night, surprisingly. 96% of the bets are on the Clippers in this one. That is scary. 97% of the bets on the Clippers money line. So I don't see why people would think that, but anywho, a couple spread notes from this one. Kings 8-6-1 against the spread at home, and that's even with losing their last three games at home. So for that 8-3-1, Clippers 7-12 against the spread on the road, not 5-10 against the spread as a road favorite. What the hell? No, that's not what they were. As an away, well, 5-10 is away favorite. They're not an away favorite, so don't worry about that statistic. How about that one? Ha! All right. Blake Griffin obviously out with the knee surgery. He'll be out for a while. Chris Paul doubtful. He's missed 7 of the last 8 games with the hamstring injury. And then for the Kings, Rudy Gay is questionable with the hip injury. He's missed 9 of the last 10 games. The big thing to point out in this one is how Boogie Cousins does against the Clippers. He's been absolutely murdering this team, and that includes a 68.1 FanDuel point performance the last time that they faced. But, you know, just some of his other notable performances since 2014, 58.5, 63.9, 55.9, 47.8, 55.3, 48, and there's a 46.1 that I've forgotten there somewhere. But still, he's been tremendously successful. Now that he gets to go against this team without Blake Griffin in the lineup, should be a damn good night for the Boogman.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot you can say about analyzing this matchup on the aspect of DeMarcus Cousins. So.
Yep. And then one thing I've also noticed here, without Chris Paul in the lineup, point guards have just been having a field day against the Clippers. So
is that a shock?
No, I'm just, you know, it's just funny because not enough people have been really taking advantage of it. I mean, Eric Bledsoe. Well, yes, we are not enough people. We are.
Hey,
you
we've
and me,
got to leave.
But...
No. I'm talking about we as in the army. We have to leave something for our VIP subscribers. And the top plays of the night, you know, as far as point per dollar, have been noted, and they've been point guards or guards just really at any point. Guards. You just say guards versus the Clippers. Yeah. But tonight I don't think is a night where we're going to go do that.
it's a very tricky situation with Ty Lawson coming back last game. He played 25 minutes. Collison played 27 minutes. You kind of hope that somebody punches Ty Lawson in the face tonight so that Darren Collison could go back in there, because at 4,400, he would be fantastic for this matchup. So anybody in Sacramento listening tonight and you got a vendetta against Ty Lawson, just let him have it. You know, just sock him one right in the eye.
Yeah.
Or the sinus, wherever he's hurting. I just think it's the face. So anywhere in the face should probably do the job. I usually don't promote violence, but when it helps my earnings, I'll make a billboard.
Yeah. I just – it's hard with – I mean, these are the guards that you're talking about for the Sacramento Kings, okay? Darren Collison, Ty Lawson, you just heard that. Jordan Farmar. Ben McLemore, who played well at Oklahoma State, Malachi Richardson, Aaron Aflalo, and Garrett Temple. Okay, Garrett Temple's probably the best out of all of them. So,
I think you're sliding Makai a little bit now.
Oh, no kidding, right?
Hey, Aaron Aflalo has played 30 minutes the last 2 games. Could be an interesting spot. He did pop off for 25 and change against the Nuggets the other night.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean that was.
I didn't say you had to like it.
I don't. I don't at all.
I don't want to like it. All right. So now that we got all that out of the way, what do you like from the Clippers tonight?
JJ Redick, JJ Redick, JJ Redick, JJ Redick.
Are you becoming a Duke fan?
I've always liked JJ Redick. I like him. I like him now even more now that he's got the sleeve, just because it makes it look like he's a little bit more of a hard ass.
Hardcore man.
But you know, with a sprinkle of Jamal Crawford and Raymond Felton. Look, if you want to,
you're forgetting another Duke all-time great.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
No, hey, I'm not. I'm not chasing Austin Rivers.
I did it the other night, and it worked pretty well.
No, you played Austin Rivers. You played him in a bounce back, in a good situation against a team that we've been targeting point guards against all year in Memphis. Okay?
Yeah.
Now people are going to be like, well, how come Curry's? It has everything to do with the price on that one. Curry's not in play because he's overpriced based on the players around him and the role that he plays on the team. Austin Rivers was a good play because of the price, the role he plays on the team. But you're talking about a guy that just put up 43. He's 4,600. Okay. And he's going to be overowned. Why not go to Malcolm Brogdon or Raymond Felton, get lower ownership, and don't chase the points because it's still Austin Rivers. We're forgetting this little fact that it's still Austin Rivers. He's not good at basketball. We've seen this before. Every time he hits against New Orleans, 32 minutes, 22 points. Okay. The next game against Houston, a good matchup still. High paced, up and tick, because they can play Felton at the one against Beverly and Rivers at the two, because I think J.J. Redick was out that game. Double checking before I put my foot in my mouth. No, Redick did play that game. Played 25 minutes, but it was his first game back. So, 15 fantasy points. Okay. Let's see here. That Orlando game, I remember that. 33.8. The next game, 34 minutes. 4 minutes less, 8.7. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, against Cleveland, 23 minutes, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. 26.3. 7.9 the next game. Okay. Against Dallas in November, 22 points, 26.7 FanDuel points, 3.2 the next game. We've seen this before. The only time that there's actually been a semi-even consistent repeat performance for Austin Rivers has been the day after Christmas versus Denver, where he played 42 minutes, and I believe that was an overtime game, if I'm not mistaken. Where he got 27.1.
No idea.
That's the only reason I see Austin Rivers playing 42 minutes. But,
hey, he played 44 minutes last game.
But wasn't that an overtime game?
No, damn near.
Okay. So it came down to the wire. And the next game against New Orleans, he put up 29.8. So this is the only time. So you're telling me that I'm going to take a 1 out of 5 chance that Austin Rivers is going to actually have a pay off his salary and get to the 6X tournament value? I'll take it.
Uh-huh.
Because I can go get Raymond Felton for the same price and get the leverage on the ownership, or I can go get Malcolm Brogdon and get the same ownership for the same price as well and probably get just as much upside.
Sure, sure. I really regret not getting you that Austin Rivers jersey for Christmas.
Oh,
would have been a good one. All right, anything else for the Clippers?
I don't. Everything is telling me to keep playing DeAndre Jordan because he's just been phenomenal with Blake out.
Sure.
But I don't know if I want to do that against Boogie. Last Halloween, he did have a 53 against him, but he also, 4 months later in February, he had a 22 against him in the same amount of minutes. Earlier this year, he had 32.4 FanDuel points. That was November 18th. I'm assuming Blake played in that game. Also, Chris Paul played in that game. I'm probably off of DeAndre Jordan at 7,500. I'm off of DeAndre Jordan on FanDuel, and on DK, he's a little bit more interesting because he's 7,100, but probably not going to go there.
All right. I believe that's going to do it for us on today's show. Follow us on Twitter at 14a.walsh and at Boomers DFS Daddy. Once again, dfsarmy.com and the promo code podcast gets you 20% off each month. That brings your grand total to $16 a month for all sorts of great information, 24/7 support, and all sorts of things. Maybe not 24/7. I mean, we do sleep every now and again, so. But damn near it. Somebody will get in touch with you. But, yes, once again, dfsarmy.com is where you find us. For me and Keith, we're out of here. We'll see you back on Monday. Good luck with your NFL stuff this weekend, too.
Peace. Yes, absolutely. Oh, and on Tuesday, there are four games. We will not be putting out content. There will be no cheat sheet. There will be a pod, though, however. It will be a short little 30-minute one. Okay. We do this every year as far as trade rumors and stuff to and kind of how to handle that when it comes to DFS because NBA is a bitch. So it's already kind of started, but we need to hit on that on Tuesday. So
I'll have my stuff out. Don't worry. But I got you.
I've got a 9-month old. And so
All well.
So
let's have fun with it. We'll see you Monday.
Later, guys.
Peace.
Peace out.